Today on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, an award-winning guaranteed Irish company. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Today on RTE Radio 1, text 51551.
Native trees, rare wildflowers, herds of red deer. Ireland's national parks are unique ecosystems across the length and breadth of the island from Glenveagh to Killarney. But are we doing enough when it comes to managing and protecting these habitats and their rich biodiversity? For more, I'm joined by ecologist and author Padraig Fogarty and Minister of State with Responsibility for Nature, Heritage and Biodiversity, Christopher O'Sullivan. Good morning to both of you and thank you very much for joining us. Padraig, you've literally written the book on the kind of condition of the state that our national parks were in 10 years ago, but more recently you've revisited them. Give us the progress report.
Yeah, so 10 years ago I visited all of our six at then national parks, and I found them to be in a pretty miserable state at that time. NPWS had been basically defunded after the recession. So over the last year I've been doing a tour of the country. We now have eight national parks. And when I visited them this time round, I was in the company of National Parks and Wildlife Service staff, who were the people who manage these areas. And I was very grateful for their time, and I have to say that. And they were very open to all the discussions that we had. And the good news is that things have definitely improved on the ground. We have more money now. We have greater confidence, I think, among the staff who are running the national parks. And we're seeing things happen for the first time in a long time. Rhododendron removal, bog repair, conservation measures that are needed to get these places back up and running.
Okay, let's take the rough with the smooth. What were you most impressed by?
I think things like bog restoration that we're seeing in Wicklow Mountains and in Wild Neffen. We're seeing removal of conifer plantations, rewilding, if you want to call it that. There's a fantastic project up in Donegal in Glenveagh National Park, where they're really taking an ecosystem-based approach to controlling the grazing, to allowing natural regeneration of trees. And this is really the scale that we should be looking at. So the good news is there's a lot of that kind of stuff happening now.
And the bad?
Well, the bad news is, I think, and this comes back to what I think is the fundamental problem with national parks, is that we don't have any legislation backing them. So basically, the state can call any patch of ground they want a national park, and it doesn't necessarily make any difference. So I think the worst example I saw was one of our new national parks is Páirc na Siúntaí na Mara, which is on the Dingle Peninsula. That was the state bought the Connor Pass and declared the whole area, the sea around it, a national park. And to be honest, it means absolutely nothing because there's mechanical excavation of peat. There is still more sheep grazing in national park in that particular national park. And the state or the NPWS has no power to do anything in the sea. So there's no prospect of any control measures for fishing. And fundamentally, that particular park has no staff. So we get this big announcement that something is going to happen. People expect that this is really, you know, something special that's going to happen. And in the end, really, there's nothing behind it. And fundamentally, that's a problem of legislation.
Minister Christopher O'Sullivan, I actually visited Páirc na Siúntaí na Mara I Cirí when it opened last year. And the possibilities that everybody was talking about were great. But from what Padraig is saying, it's just remained possibilities.
No, the possibilities for Páirc na Siúntaí na Mara are amazing. And look, could I just start by saying that I find myself in agreement with much of what Padraig is saying. You know, I find myself in a very, very, very lucky and privileged position that I get to, for work now, go around to visit our national parks, which are absolutely stunning and amazing. They have unique scenery, unique habitat. But I'm not for one second going to try and convince everybody that they're absolute pristine from a habitat and nature point of view. They absolutely have their challenges, they have their issues. But I will say, and I think in fairness to Padraig, he has acknowledged this, the staff, the conservation rangers, the ecologists, the general operatives, they are amazing. And the passion that they show for their patches is why I'm full of hope that we can implement measures and continue with invasive species management and continue to challenge grazing pressures, because their passion is unbelievable. I have to say that at the outset. I think Pádraig would agree. In terms of
let's just get his input on that, because we'll come back to the legislation that is under your control and what might happen there. But does he make a fair point, do you think, Pádraig, that the NPWS is an agency rejuvenated with a renewed sense of purpose?
Yes, there's a lot to be said for that. And the previous minister, Malcolm Noonan, got this ball rolling. And there has been a lot of progress in rebuilding the NPWS generally, which obviously has a much greater remit than just our national parks. But still, we're going out to places like the Dingle Peninsula, which has one ranger for the entire Dingle Peninsula and the sea around it. And this isn't the only place where I visited that is suffering chronic staff shortages that are preventing those enthusiastic and fantastic staff on the ground from doing the things that we need to do. So I think it's wonderful that finally we have budgets in place and there's the mechanisms there to get stuff done. But in many places, the staff aren't there. And of course, the other thing is that none of these places is operating to a management plan, to an up-to-date management plan.
Okay, well, let's deal with the human resources thing first, will we? One NPWS ranger for an entire peninsula, which I happen to remember reading recently, is exactly the same size as the Gaza Strip. It's a pretty large body of land to put under the responsibility of one person, isn't it, Minister?
Oh, look, absolutely. And just to say about Parc na Síochána Mara, it's very new. It was only announced in 2024. And there's a process and getting it up and running, getting it fully staffed and resourced, that'll take a while. But I think your initial point in terms of the potential of this national park is absolutely extraordinary. It's going to be the biggest national park. The variety of habitats there are extraordinary, from the mountainous Conor Pass, from the sand dunes at Inch, the Great Blasket Islands, the Skelligs, which everyone is very aware of from a seabird colony point of view, but it is new.
Okay, it's all just lines on a map until you do the job of getting marine protected area legislation over the line, isn't it?
Not necessarily all just lines on a map, because one of the unique things about Parc na Síochána Mara is that most of it is covered by either SAC or SPA. These are the Natura 2000 sites, special areas of conservation, special protection areas. So there is an onus on us anyway to put in place measures to ensure that the habitat or the species that they're intended to be protected for, that they are protected. But it is new, it is exciting. There is continuous, my intention is, and the intention of this government, and certainly advocated by Micheál Martin, I have to say, is to continue the momentum that was started, but in fairness, by my predecessor, okay, Senator Malcolm Noonan, and that is to continue the funding. We've increased funding from 78 million last year to 100 million this year, the first time ever that NPWS has over 100 million funding, but also to increase staffing and to increase resources, because it's all grand expanding our national parks, increasing the size of our national parks, we need to ensure that the resources and the staff are in place. And we have doubled the staff over that period, but I'm fully aware from meeting staff on the ground that they need extra support and extra resources.
Pádraig, the SPAs and the SACs that the Minister say offer additional protection, are they not very often just lines on a map as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I was particularly shocked when I visited the Conor Pass this summer to see excavators digging out blanket bog in an SAC that has been an SAC for 20 years, and then to be told that even though it's a national park, the NPWS doesn't hold the turbary rights to do anything about it, and then also bringing in more sheep, even though this is now fully state land, even though the NPWS have identified for a long time that overgrazing is one of the most significant problems in that particular special area of conservation. So these are the things I don't understand. And what I would suggest, rather than, you know, the way that this is done, the way that there's a big reveal, you know, ministers gather somewhere and there's a press release and it's going to be a national park and leaving everybody scratching their heads, this kind of work should have been done first and then you declare it a national park. When there's actually meaningful measures underway to do something about the problems.
Weren't they kind of caught by surprise, though, in that the land came available and they didn't have the option to sit around talking about what they might do with it for a year or two? They needed to just buy it.
They might have very well have bought the land and they might have proposed a national park. This is how it's done in the UK. There's a process of consultation and there's whatever studies need to be done. And then ultimately, if it's deemed suitable, it becomes a national park. But then this comes back to our problem of having no legislation, no definition for what these things should be.
Isn't that the really big problem here, Minister? That not only do we not have any legislation, we haven't ever really formally sat down and said, what is the idea of what these national parks are and what role they should fulfil? Because the different parks are going to do different things.
Mm. Well, first of all, Parc Náisiún Tá na Mara wasn't something that happened overnight. That was years and years of planning and land acquisitions. But look, it's there, and we will create an incredible national park there. But in terms of legislation...
I don't think that was how your predecessor described the process of that sale, but never mind, we'll move on. He's not here.
In terms of the legislation, which absolutely this is... It's with the department, and there is an intention to introduce national park legislation. I think the key aspect here is actually ownership. The whole idea of acquisitions, land acquisitions, we're expanding our national parks. We've made some significant purchases right across our national park network over the last number of years, is that you can actually, when you own the land and when the state owns the land, they can control the activities that happen within. So
from what Pádraig is saying, if there are diggers at the Connor Pass.
So Pádraig is right to highlight that grazing, for example, there is grazing pressures on many of our upland areas and many of our most sensitive habitats. Some of our national parks is commonage, and it's more difficult to control that. Some of it, there are illegal, there are existing legal rights. And in some instances, for example, Nathan, there's a big issue with trespass of sheep, which I think the Department of Agriculture have to take a role in terms of penalising that as well. But in general, we can, and this is happening in Killarney, it's happening in Connemara. Donegal, as Pádraig rightly said, is the perfect example where the state owns the land. We can put in place measures in terms of dealing with grazing pressures like a deer, for example, and ensuring that there's an appropriate deer management strategy, but also then being able to fence off areas, stopping grazers from coming into that area and allowing the valleys to generate renaturally. And we're seeing that especially in Glenveagh. Glenveagh and Donegal is a perfect example of where you're seeing these pioneer species, like birch, coming back into the area, regenerating. And this gives us opportunities then to put in place species response plans for species like the ring ouzel, which we know is under severe, severe threat.
Indeed, down to the last breeding pair, aren't we? Pádraig, we are in the process of drawing up a nature restoration plan for this country at this point in time. A once-in-a-generation opportunity, perhaps, to set things to right. How is that process going?
Well, I mean, I know that there's a lot of work being done behind the scenes on this in terms of the technical work that needs to be done. But, I mean, to the outside world, it's not going very well because at the moment we don't know how any of this stuff is going to be paid for. We have targets up to 2030, which is not that far away, and nobody knows where the funding is going to come to meet those targets.
The chair of that consultative process, Minister, Dr. Evie Nihulawan, told me that their back of an envelope calculation was that nature restoration was going to cost 100 million. Euro a year out to 2030 at the very least. Now, the programme for government said that there was going to be money for farmers for nature restoration from the climate fund, but none of it was allocated in the National Development Plan.
I just want to thank Dr. Avian actually for the incredible work she's doing in steering that advisory committee, and they will present their findings to me early in the new year with publication of the Nature Restoration Plan in 2026. And trust me when I say, and Pádraig in fairness highlights a lot of issues, but I have issue with the kind of, I suppose, idea that momentum may be stopping or grinding to a halt in terms of nature restoration and our objectives here. That is absolutely not the case. And I genuinely see the Nature Restoration Plan as the potential for a springboard for transformative change when
no
it comes to ecology and habitat.
For it, Minister, that whole process is going to fall apart.
I can say categorically that process and the Nature Restoration Plan will be funded. First of all, we have to find out how much this is all going to cost.
100 million.
That's a kind of an estimate, I think, that has been done academically. One of the key, I suppose, roles of the advisory committee, which is led by Dr. Avine, is that they would exactly put a figure on how much it costs. When we do know that, and we have until 2026, remember, before the plan is published, when we do know that, the funding will be in place. We can already badge 40 million per year directly from my department as nature restoration.
But hang on a second, where is it going to come from? Because in the programme for government, it was the climate fund that was ring-fenced to pay for this, but all of that was frittered away elsewhere, and there was no money for nature.
Not all of it. Probably more than I would like to have seen has gone to other projects, but we still have 307 euro that we can badge as nature restoration. That's for barrier removal in our rivers, which is really, really important. The farming for water EIP, as well as urban drainage. So there is an element of that, but not enough. You're absolutely absolutely right. There's about 40 million of our own department's funding which can be badged as nature restoration. And remember, we have now secured 100 million for the first time. But this is an all of government approach, Philip, and there will have to be funding from the Department of Agriculture in terms of nature restoration measures. The Department of Climate and Environment will have to pony up as well in terms of funding. But I can assure you, and I have the full backing of An Taoiseach Micheál Martin on this, who's always been a great advocate for nature, that we will fund the nature restoration plan, and that whether it's farmers, landowners, communities, whatever stakeholders we need to work with to ensure better outcomes for habitat, biodiversity and species, that they will be in place.
Pádraic.
I'm going to bring this back to our national parks, because this is state land. If the state can't restore nature in our national parks, then it sends a very bad signal to farmers or landowners or anybody else that the state is really up for this. I'd make the point that we first committed to legislation for national parks in 2002, so 23 years ago. We've been hearing about management plans for national parks. I mean, I've lost count how many times that announcement has been made. And then the lack of clear pathways for funding just adds to this lack of trust really in the state that they're really capable to do the job that needs to be done. And it's not down to the staff on the ground, which I know are wonderful. It's the higher levels that don't always send out the signals that this really is a commitment that we're ready to take on board.
But you said it yourself at the outset, Pádraic, in terms of, I mean, you can say that there are no nature restoration measures happening within our national parks. You mentioned the invasive species management plans, the clearing of rhododendron in both Killarney, in Connemara and in Glenveagh, the natural regeneration that's happening in Glenveagh, the bog restoration and peatland restoration that's happening in Wicklow. So it is happening at scale. Absolutely, it needs to happen at greater scale. And look, what I will share this with Pádraic. I think there has to be an intention here and an approach of, I suppose, education and informing people that, you know, this is what a, for example, as part of my job, I went to Kilkenny, where there's a new nature reserve there, and it's a biodiversity species or grass species rich grassland. And it really opened my mind as to what a species-rich grassland looks like. And if I'm still learning, then I think there's a whole job of work to be done by the likes of myself and Pádraic to educate people that actually, you know, although we have the reputation of being this island of 40 shades of green, sometimes what we think is biodiversity-rich may not be biodiversity-rich. And I think that is a shared intention that myself and Pádraic would happen. But there will be nature restoration happening in scale, and I can assure people of that.
Last brief word, Pádraic.
Yeah, I think when people go to our national parks, they think this is the one place in the country where nature is going to come first. And when you see farm animals and you see diggers and, you know, things that shouldn't be happening in national parks, it undermines confidence. The point about the legislation and the management plans means that the way our parks are run is completely opaque. Nobody really knows what's happening inside them on a day-to-day basis, and therefore there's no accountability, and that leads to
a lack
of trust.
But they did throw the doors open to you, in fairness, didn't they?
They did, but I mean, to local people who I spoke to in each of the areas I went around, none of them knew what was happening. I spoke to people in Dingle who hadn't heard anything about the National Park since the announcement, which was a year before.
There was a full consultation process, and you'd always be welcome again, Pádraic, to visit national parks, and that's the beauty. They're free. They're free for anyone to visit. There is absolutely a lot of work to be done.
Free to visit, but not free to fund, and that's clearly something we're going to have to watch.
Just last point, we're not going to wait. We are going to publish management plans, but we're not going to wait for the publication of management plans to ensure that we crack on with the measures that are needed to restore biodiversity within our national parks.
Minister Christopher Sullivan, thank you very much. And Pádraic Fogarty as well. Let's take a break.
Today on RTE Radio 1.